Father in heaven, what a blessing to consider your Son, the one who came to this earth and gave himself for us, the one who would take our place at a cross and suffer your wrath in our place. Lord, I pray that you would help him to remember us, help us to remember him now, according to your grace, to remember him rightly according to your word, and we pray in his name. Amen. Well, now is the time in our service where we take some time to remember Christ, to remember Jesus himself and the work he did in the place of those who had put their trust in him at a cross. In a moment, we're going to be taking just a few elements, a small wafer and a bit of juice, and it's important for us to remember that these are symbols of the blood of Christ. They themselves don't have any particular value. They don't have any particular effect for a person. They're just intended to remind us of Christ's body and his blood that he shed in our place at the cross. This morning, we're going to be using a passage from God's Word, so get your Bibles out. If you don't have a Bible, some men are going to be coming down the aisles, and they can get one to you. If you don't actually own a Bible, please consider this as our gift to you. We would love for you to have a Bible of your own so that you can receive and read God's Word for yourselves. We're going to be looking at John chapter 4, verses 9 through 14. So please turn there with me in your Bibles. The setting here is that Jesus has been traveling from Judea in the south to Samaria in the north. And Jesus has been traveling for much of the day, and he is resting at Jacob's well, and he is tired. And a woman comes and approaches Jesus at the well, and Jesus asks her for a drink. As I read the passage, verses 9 through 14, notice a couple of things in verse 10. Notice the two things that Jesus says this woman must know. Follow along as I read verses 9 through 14. Therefore, the Samaritan woman said to him, "How do you, being a Jew, ask for a drink from me, being a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is to say to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst, ever. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." It's important for us to understand that during Jesus' public ministry, the Jewish rabbis had instituted another set of laws, a broken set of laws, a human set of laws, and they had overlaid that on top of God's perfect Old Testament law. And one element of that broken law was that a good Jew could not drink from a vessel that was handled or touched by a Samaritan, especially a Samaritan woman. And if they did, they would become ceremonially unclean. And the woman understands this, and so she wonders why Jesus would ask her for a drink, because that would make him ceremonially unclean. But we see that Jesus moves the discussion away from a broken religious system, and he starts to introduce the idea of a spiritual need and a solution for that. The gift of God that he refers to in verse 10 is the permanent gift that is salvation, salvation from our sin, the spiritual need that we all have. And he identifies himself as the means of that. And we see later in verse 10 and then on in verses 13 and 14 that Jesus points out things about himself that are important for us to see. The woman doesn't understand that the conversation is moving into the spiritual realm, and we see that in verses 11 and 12. She notices that Jesus doesn't have anything to draw with, and she wonders how he's going to obtain that water. But Jesus, again, helps her understand that this is not a physical conversation about a physical need and a physical solution to that physical need. Instead, Jesus in verse 13 says, if you have a physical need, there will be a physical solution to that, but that solution is only a temporary solution. In verse 13, he helps her understand with more clarity that there is a spiritual solution to a spiritual need, and he describes that in terms of the water that he himself gives. This is water that comes from Jesus himself. This is not water that Jesus obtains from any place else, from a well or anywhere else. It comes from within Christ himself. And it has an effect that's different than the effect that physical water has for one who has a physical thirst. Look here in verse 14. Whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never thirst again, ever. Jesus' solution to a spiritual problem, Jesus himself as that solution, is a permanent solution to that problem. And not only that, but the solution is not just permanent, it's within the person. Look at the end of verse 14. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water. Jesus gives a gift. He gives a gift of himself. And when he is seen and understood to be the Son of God and the only solution to God's provision for us, the only solution to our sin problem, he himself resides within that person and dwells within them. So, Christian, if you're here this morning, take note of Jesus and who he is, that he is the one who gave of himself for you. And as a result, he resides within you, and he resides within you permanently, and he gives you everything you need to have right standing before God. So when the elements come to you, take them and hold them and consider Christ himself, that he is within you. He dwells within you, providing for you everything you need. When your heart is prepared, take the elements on your own. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior and Lord, I would encourage you to drop down to the verses that follow the passages we just read. Notice that Jesus brings into view this woman's sin problem. He says, you've had five husbands, and the man you're with right now is not your husband. Truly, this woman has a sin problem. And Jesus is telling her and helping her understand, in order to have me, you must turn from your sin. You must turn away from your sin and embrace me. If you drop down to the very bottom of the passage, Jesus explains himself in verses 25 and 26 as the Messiah, the only Messiah. If you're here today and you're not following Christ, when the elements come to you, just pass them to the person next to you. But use this time as a good time to consider who Christ is, that he is the only solution that you must have in order to be redeemed and saved from your sin. So men, come and serve us, and when we've had time, I will close ourselves in prayer.